Trejo. We'll start today to meditate about the Acts of Apostles because we are starting the fasting of the Apostles this week. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Kol sana unto tayyibin. This week, we started already the fasting of the apostles. And usually, for every season, for every occasion, we have a certain book or a certain atmosphere of readings. Like, for example, in the Advent, we concentrate on the book of, or the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 1 and 2. In the 4 weeks of the Lent, we read the 2 chapters of the Gospel of St. Luke. Why? Because St. Luke was known as an artist, iconographer, and he painted the first icon of Saint Mary. And the tradition says that while he was painting, Saint Mary was explaining to him the story of the incarnation and how did it start. She was explaining to him first the annunciation of Zacharias by Archangel Gabriel, and then the annunciation to her concerning the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ from a pure womb, and then her visit to Elizabeth, and then the birth of John the Baptist. These are the 4 weeks or the four Sundays readings of the great of the Advent Christmas fast. In the Pentecost, for example, we concentrate on St. John Gospel. And we read all the readings of Sundays. If you revise the Catechumenos, the book of readings in the church, you will find that all Sundays are taken from the Gospel of St. John. Why? Because St. John concentrated on the divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, for example, in the beginning of the Pentecost, we find the first Sunday in the Pentecost is the Thomas Sunday, the proof of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ's body and spirit, body and spirit. And it's a proof that the same body that was crucified and was buried resurrected from heavens. That's why Thomas, we owe him the proof of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ with the same body that he took from St. Mary, and he was crucified with, buried with, and resurrected with. So, in the Apostles' Fast, the best book you can read is the Acts of Apostles. Or, as our forefathers used to call, the Acts of the Holy Spirit in the church, of the Acts of the Holy Spirit in the life of the apostles, or the services of the apostles. So we will not, this year inshallah, we will not take the book verse by verse, but we'll try during the great, this fast of apostles, to cover all the book of Acts of Apostles. Give you an idea about every chapter and meditate somehow about some stops we can stop by in our ceremonies of the Vespers. Question. Who wrote the Acts of Apostles? Do you know? Who wrote the Acts of Apostles?
Saint Luke.
Saint Luke? The physician and artist, and was one of the 70, not the 12 apostles. He was one of the 70 apostles appointed by the Lord later. First, he chose 12 disciples and then 70 apostles, and he sent them two by two in every place he was going to or intending to go and preach. So the writer of the Acts of Apostles is Saint Luke. And the proof of that, you will find the beginning of the Gospel of Saint Luke. He was sending it to a man called Theophilus. And then the first chapter in the Acts of Apostles, he begins with the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach. So he's the same person. And some forefathers has an opinion that Theophilus could be a true man, Alexandrian, and could be also a symbolic man. Why? Because Theo means God. Philo means Yunani. Philo, love. Philo means love. Theophilus, who loves God, or the lover of God. So it could be to anyone who loves God. That's why some of them considered that these two books was sent to every man who loves God, or to a man whose name was Theophilus. As I said, the only book who does not end with the word Amen, which means that no end to this book, is the Acts of Apostles. Why? Because it has begun, as we explain now, giving birth to the church, but never ends. It ends at the martyrdom of St. Paul, when he cut off his the head of, or the neck of St. Paul. And it did not say Amen, which means there is a continuity. What is the continuity? The church, the life of the church. That's why right away, after the Acts of Apostles, church, feel something wrong in this. After we read the Acts of Apostles, what do we read after the act? Synaxarium. Did you get the tabuna? The hand one, but we'll borrow. Abunas. Okay.
So after we finished the Cynics, the Acts of Apostles, we start the Synaxarium. The Synaxarium is part of the history of the church. It contains the history of the church, the martyrs, the apostles, the angels, the righteous people, and everyone, which is the continuity. And also, we do not also end it with Amen. Why? Because it will continue until the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. After this introduction, we start the Acts of Apostles. Chapter 1 of the Acts of Apostles actually happened right away after the ascension of the Lord. After the Lord ascended into heavens, they assembled together in the upper room, which was the house of, who knows? St. Mark. It was the house of St. Mark, the evangelist, the founder of the Coptic church in Egypt and in the Middle East. His mother's name was Mary, and she was one of the Marians or Marys who surrounded our Lord Jesus Christ during his stay on earth, during his incarnation period on earth. So, or his mission, 3 years and a half, almost, yeah. And he used to use this upper room. So as the Lord asked them not to leave Jerusalem until they receive a power from heaven, which is the Holy Spirit, they were assembling in the upper room, and they were also praying together, awaiting for the descendant of the Holy Spirit. The most important event happened in this period, in these 10 days, after the ascension of the Lord, is the selection of a disciple to replace the betrayer, or the traitor, Judas Iscariot, who betrayed our Lord Jesus Christ, gave him to the Jews to be crucified. So they assembled together. They chose two men, and the conditions, qualifications was for every one of them that he lived with Jesus Christ all the time, and he saw everything. And these two were Joseph and Matthias. And they cast a lot, and it fell on Matthias. So that was why Matthias, who is here, the last one, Matthias, was considered one of the 12 disciples to complete the 12 disciples who were chosen by the Lord from the beginning. But there is a very important. What is the most event that happened in the first chapter, that the Lord, while he was speaking with them, he ascended into heavens. What does it mean spiritually? What does it mean spiritually? When the Lord ascended to the heavens, who is the Lord to us? As a body. If the church is the body of Christ, then who is Christ? Is the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, the mind of the church, the organizer of the church, the leader of the church, the thinker of the church. So if we say that the Lord ascended into heavens, it means that the head of the church is in heavens. So the head of the church is in heavens. And the head of every believer must be in heavens. In another word, every one of us who believes in God, truly believes in God, his head, his mind, is according to the mind of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why in one of the verses, St. Paul said, as for me, we have the mind of Jesus Christ. The mind of Christ. So the Lord is the head of the church. Then the church is a heavenly body. The church is not just something on earth. Literally, it is on here, on earth, but actually, it is not. And in the third hour, when we pray in the third hour, we said, whenever we are standing in the sanctuary of the Lord, whenever we are standing in the sanctuary of the Lord, we are considered a standing in heavens. So the church is a part of heavens. What you are sitting in now, it's not a part in Ottawa or Nepean or a number in Canfield Road at the side of Greenbank. No. It's actually a part of heavens. That's why when we come to the church, we leave or we cast out from our minds everything related to the world. We are considered in heavens. We are in a part of heavens. That's why the wise church gives us the atmosphere of this meaning. The church puts to us all these icons. And these icons are not decoration. No. It's like when you visit someone you love, or a friend or relative, one of your siblings, and actually you'll find him hanging photos or pictures from the family. Most of the people who are married are proud of the, مثلاً, a picture of their wedding. You find the wedding picture in their houses, or the graduation of their children, boys and girls, or some occasions happen. This is exactly what the church puts. The 12 disciples behind me and in front of you now explains that we are in heavens. So all the other icons around us give us the atmosphere that we are not really on earth, but in heavens. So the first lesson that we learn from the first chapter is the head of the church is in heavens. We are also part of the church, so the head of everyone, other believers, must be according to the head and mind of our Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 2 actually was the most important chapter in the book. Why? Simply because it explains the birth of the church. The birth of the church. Last Sunday, in the Pentecost, last Sunday we celebrated in the morning during the liturgy with the descendants of the Holy Spirit. Yes? And after that, at afternoon, what did we celebrate? Second. Happy birthday to the church. We were coming to the church for what we call the kneeling prayer. Three times, three kneelings. Actually, we are coming to say happy birthday to every one of us in Christ. Happy birthday to the church. Because the church was born, was initiated on that day when the Holy Spirit came upon the 120 people, 12 apostles or 12 disciples, 70 apostles, and Miriam's and the ladies. On top of them was the Mother of God, Saint Mary. So the kneeling prayer is the celebration of the birth of the church. And this happened in the Acts of Apostles, chapter 2. Right away after the coming down of the Holy Spirit, or as a sign, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, with tongues of fire and a sound of power wind, strong wind around the place. And we don't want to repeat ourselves. This was explained last week. But I want to say, right away after this happened, Saint Peter, who denied the Lord on the day of the cross, or just before the crucifixion of our Lord, was the first one who stood by, and we gave a very strong sermon. And he was very brave to face the Jews. And he said to them, the man who you crucified is the true God, is the Messiah. He arose from the dead. He resurrected, and he ascended into heavens, and he sent his Holy Spirit now, and he gave them the prophecy which was said in Joel in the Old Testament about the descendants of the Holy Spirit. Right away, what happened? After he gave the sermon, what happened? إيه اللي حصل بقى؟ No, before. Right away after he finished. What happened to the people? What happened to the people? In 37. Listen, please. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. They were cut to the heart. In Arabic, نُخِسُوا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. Cut to the heart. نُخِسُوا. لما يكون واحد كده خبطهم. As if someone speared them in heart. Cut to the heart. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? Now we believe in what you said. What shall we do? Expectedly. What do you think it could happen? Was it the moment of preaching or teaching? Or practicing? What of those? Which one of those? Preaching or teaching or practicing? From day one, right away after the descendant of the Holy Spirit, the church practiced the sacraments. The sacraments. Verse 38. Peter said to them, Count with me. Repent. Repent. What does it mean, repent? What's the meaning of repent here? Repent and confession. So, first sacrament was the sacrament of confession. Repent. How do we prove our repentance? By confession. Right? And then, repent. And let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Baptism. Look, from day one, confession and baptism. The church did not invent from itself. No. It was the result of the 40 days that the Lord was appearing to his disciples and teaching them everything about the kingdom of heaven. how to live the gospel, how to live Christianity, how practice, and how to live their faith. Repentance, confession, number one. Number two, baptism. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Number three, confirmation. الهولي كريزم الله. يبقى from day one الكنيسة ماشية بالتوبة والاعتراف والتناول والروح والبتاع والمعمودية والروح القدس، مش كده؟ يبقى confession, baptism and confirmation. What else? Who was saying that? Peter and the disciples. For us sacramentally they were priests. يبقى ده number four. اللي هو sacrament of a priesthood. Who ordained them priests? The Lord himself. Just before the ascension. In Luke 24. He breathed into their face. And he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Go. Teach. Preach. Disciple and baptize. اذهبوا علموا وتلمذوا وعمدوا. So it was not giving to every one of the believers. It was giving to a certain group. اللي هم priests. يبقى عندنا confession, baptism and confirmation, holy chrism, holy mayroon, and then priesthood. Is it only that? No. Three verses later, 42. Listen. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. أقولهم تاني. Doctrines of the apostles. Fellowship. Breaking of bread. And prayers. What is that? What is these four actions? Can you explain to me? What is that, Yadina? It's the liturgy. This is the liturgy. From day one, they lived the liturgy. We did not invent everything. We did not put something like that. No. It is from the Bible. It is from day one in the life of the church. What is the doctrine? The readings. Pauline epistle, Catholic epistle, Acts of Apostles, the Gospels, the Psalms, right? And the sermon. This is what we call doctrine of the apostles. What is the fellowship? They used in the past to come from everywhere. We are very lucky now. In every place we have a church, specialized, consecrated, and blessed by the Holy Chrism. Every icon. On September you saw the bishop's anointing. All the icons. Did you see that when the Pope came? Every icon of these icons. It's blessed now with the mayroon. Exactly like what you received in your childhood, when you were baptized. When your mother came and baptized you, or when you were baptized, if you were baptized adult. So this is a sacred place. But in the beginning, it wasn't like that. It was just a place, and the people used to come from every village and place, so they used to bring food with them, put it on the table, to take one meal together. This is the fellowship. What we have from the fellowship now, the meal that we take downstairs together. Unfortunately, sometimes there is a negative things happen downstairs, and instead of having blessed by the Holy Spirit communion, we must have a good conversations and entertaining. But sometimes it is not like that. But the idea is the fellowship. What is the meaning from the fellowship here? It's the ologia, lu'mat al-baraka, that Abuna distributes to everyone at the entrance of the church. This is the fellowship, to say that all of us take one piece from one meal. This is the fellowship. What is the breaking of bread? It's the Holy Communion. The breaking of bread is a weak translation from the Greek, but the exact or accurate translation means the distribution of the body of Christ. Tawziya jasad al-Masih. Not the breaking of bread. But anyhow, either breaking of bread or distributing the body of Christ, we know that this is the Holy Communion. And the prayers. The prayers which is before and after and during partaking the Holy Communion. This is the liturgy. The four actions of the liturgy were from day one. Acts of Apostles, chapter 2, verse 42 and 43. If someone comes and say, oh, this liturgy, 3 hours. What is that? Where did you have that from? You say, sorry, it's here. We took it from the Bible, from the Gospel, from the Acts of Apostles. We did not have something from our minds. No, it was from the very, very beginning. Don't let anyone betray you. The liturgy was from the very beginning. Very beginning, and they used to partake of the body of Jesus Christ, because the Lord himself in chapter 6 in the Gospel of St. John, he said, whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will abide in me and I in him, will have everlasting life, will live forever, will inherit the kingdom of heavens. So it was a must for everyone who wants to inherit the kingdom of heavens to receive the Holy Communion. And that's the church learned from the Lord from the very beginning, that 5 sacraments in one chapter, the chapter of the birth of the church. حلوة دي. كويسة دي. Don't forget. So if you live a perfect life without receiving the Holy Communion, Taban, no one lives the perfect life, but supposedly, if you live a perfect life, but you don't receive the Holy Communion, you miss a lot. You miss the condition, the only condition that gives you the authority to inherit the kingdom of heavens, to abide in him, to live everlasting life, to be with Jesus Christ. All time, on earth and in heaven. This chapter 2. Chapter 3, quickly. I want to finish 7 chapters today. Help me. Chapter 3. It's a revision, and I will let you go and read the Acts of Apostles chapter by chapter to know how did Christianity start from the beginning. The most important event happened in chapter 3 from the Acts of Apostles. The most important was that Saint Peter saw a man who was sick, كان أعرق, had one leg or the other was يعني paralytic or something like that. We'll see. He was a lame man. And this lame man stared at Peter and John, the disciples. Then Peter said to him, "We don't have gold or silver, but what we have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand." The name of Peter, of Jesus Christ, be healed and stand. Then he stood up and he was jumping and he was running and he entered with them the temple of Solomon for the first time in his life. Why? You know why? Do you know why it was the first time for him to enter the temple of Solomon? Do you know? Because any sick man, anyone who has disability, lame man, or was not allowed to enter the temple of Solomon. That's why he said, the man who was sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, he held on to Peter and John, and all people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed for the first time in his life. What does it mean? It means that poverty in money is nothing, but poverty in spirit is dangerous. We can be poor in money, poor in possessions of this world, but we want to be rich in spirit. Rich in the work of the Holy Spirit in us. That's why St. Peter and St. John healed the lame man with the treasure they had. What the treasure they had? The Holy Spirit. Are we rich? Yes. Don't deny. Don't say, "I am poor." Why? Simply because you received the Holy Spirit. And you are the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And this is the most important source of richness, spirituality. This is what we learn from chapter 3. Chapter 4. Immediately, Satan woke up. Satan is not foolish. Satan saw that the salvation was performed and the people now are forgiven of their sins through the salvation that the Lord performed on the cross in his resurrection and ascension into heavens and the descendant of the Holy Spirit, the coming down of the Holy Spirit. So the tribulations and problems started to happen. And this we find in chapter 4. Chapter 4, the Jews were fed up, very disappointed. And they arrested Peter. But the Lord freed him. I will leave the details for you to read. How did it happen? After that, something very important happens. There was tribulation from outside, but from outside is not something you must be concerned on. In chapter 4, the Lord freed Peter and John. In chapter 5, something happened. All the people, or most of the people who believed in God, went and sold whatever they had and put the money under the feet of the apostles and took whatever they needed just to live. A family whose name was Hananiah and Sapphira, husband and wife, decided also to sell a land they had, field, yani, plentiful land. But they said, okay, we cannot give all the money because we need to keep something for ourselves. So they stole. What do I still say stole? St. Peter said, why did you steal? Steal? Yes. They decided together, the husband and the wife, not to give the whole price of the land to the disciples, but 50%. And they kept for themselves 50%. This was a dangerous. Why? Because they did not understand the nature of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit of God is God. And God revealed the truth to St. Peter. So they were, as they say here, holding the rod from the middle. How? Neither here nor there. Peter said to Hananiah, did you sell the land with this amount? He said, yes. And then he said, why do you lie on the Holy Spirit? You did not lie on me. You lied on the Holy Spirit. When he heard that, he fell down, dead. No one hurt him. No one bet him. But he was shocked to the heart. And the shock killed him. And he fell dead. Someone says, Ian, Ian, kizba beda. It's not a white lying. It was that he did not recognize the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God. So if you want to dedicate your life to the Lord, do it fully in His hands. I cannot live 50% in the church and 50% in the world, amusements. I cannot, for example, give alms here to the poor and the needy in the church and then use my money outside in unlawful way, in bad way. Like, مثلاً, gambling, like, مثلاً, buying something bad, right? So on. To live two different lives, this is what we call spiritual schizophrenia. Spiritual schizophrenia. Living with two different personalities. One personality in the church, as if I am very spiritual, and one in the world, to live with the world. This was the problem of Hananiah and Sapphira. That's why we can call chapter 5 separation between good and evil. Let be a very clear line between bad and good. Either to live good or to live bad. One can say, okay, Abuna, no one is perfect. Yes, I agree with that. I am the first sinner among you. I am the first sinner among you. But I commit the sin, but I am cut to the heart when I commit the sin and repent. But I cannot live two parallel lives opposite to each other. This is the problem. This is what Hananiah and Sapphira did. That's why when Hananiah heard the words of the of Peter, it was the words of the Holy Spirit that I see you. If you betray all the world, you cannot betray you. I see the inner depths of your heart. I see what is in your mind before you think of it. Because I am God. This is what the Holy Spirit said. The same happened 3 hours later with Sapphira, his wife. Peter said, did you sell the house with the same, did you sell the land with the same, with this price? She said, yes. And then St. Peter said to her, yes, you agreed together to tempt the Holy Spirit. The lads who carried the body of your husband are coming now to carry your body also. She fell dead momently. And the result, a great fearness, fell upon all the church, saying, oh, we cannot betray the Lord. Whatsoever. Our relationship is with not with the people, our relationship with God, whose eyes can see the depth of the darkness and everything. Chapter 6 was a selection of St. Stephen and the other 6 deacons. The disciples found that the duties of the church are increasing and said, okay, we cannot leave the service of the world and be troubled with the needs of the needy, the poor. So they selected, they prayed, and they selected 7 deacons. And this was the first board of deacons in the church. Up till now, in every church, we have board of deacons. And we call it board of deacons, not board of directors. Board of directors can be in any another organization, like the daycare. Our daycare has board of directors. But in the church, we call them board of deacons. Deacon means servants. And Saint Stephen was a holy man. He was not priest. He was not among the 12 disciples. He was not among the 70 apostles. But he was a very devout deacon, a very devout man. He performed the wonders and the miracles. And he was very brave. And he used to go to the houses of the needy and the poor to give them from the church their needs. Chapter 7, the martyrdom of St. Stephen. They couldn't bear him. And if you read, I hope that you read the Acts of Apostles to start from today, to read the Acts of Apostles until the end of the fasting, the Apostles' fast, to finish it. Hopefully it's 28 chapters, but we revised 7 chapters today. The sermon that he gave proves that he was a man who studied the scriptures very good from Abraham until the day he was preaching. Consequently, amazing. At the end of that, he said to them, you are very hard in hearts, uncircumcised in your hearts and in your minds. They were insulted, and they took him outside and they stoned him until death. And he was considered the first martyr in the history of the church. And we give him this name in the commemoration, the liturgy. and Saint Stephen, the archdeacon and the proto-martyr, the first martyr. I hope that I could summarize 7 chapters of the 28 chapters of this book, which is 1/4 of this book. I hope that next week, inshallah, I'll take another chapters. But the Acts of Apostles is very important. This is the application of the sermons that the Lord gave. Yani, most of you, I'm sure, most of you went to the high school. There was a lecture by the professor, and then what we call a exercise by the TA. The TA is the application of the lecture. The 4 Gospels are the lectures, and the Acts of Apostles and the epistles after that, St. Paul and the other 3 or 4, is the application, the practicing of what the Lord taught us during his stay on earth. That's why the Acts of Apostles is a very important book for us. And it's only the only historical chapter in the New Testament Bible. Glory be to God forever. Amen. Any question? Any question? Ayun. ما سمعتش؟ مين؟ لوقا الطبيب منو؟ لا. He was one of the 70 apostles. Saint Luke. You read his the 70 apostles were appointed by the Lord later in Luke 10, John 10. He selected 70 people beside the 12 disciples to go everywhere 2 by 2 to prepare the way for our Lord Jesus Christ to go and preach the gospel there. And St. Paul also was physician, very high educated, and he was artist, iconographer. And he was one of the 2 disciples of Amwes. You know Amwes? Do you remember Amwes? 2 disciples lived in a village called Amwes. And they were leaving Jerusalem and were speaking together about the events of what happened to our Lord Jesus Christ, the crucifixion, the burial, and they were saying, we heard that he resurrected and that we are not sure. He appeared to them, to the 2 disciples, and he was talking to them until they reached their house and they invited him in, insisted to invite him. When he broke the bread, their opens, their eyes were open, recognized him, disappeared. When he disappeared, they went back to Jerusalem. Huh? They went back to Jerusalem, and what happened after that? Huh? He appeared to them in the upper room again, our Lord Jesus Christ. These 2 disciples were Luke and Cloba or Halpha. And Cloba was the husband of Saint Mary, who was the sister of Saint Mary, the mother of God. Cloba was the husband of Mary, the sister of Mary, the mother of God, because Joachim and Hannah begot the first daughter, Saint Mary. She was presented to the temple. After that, the Lord granted them with another daughter. And they called her Mary also, and she married to Cloba or Halpha. And this Cloba begot from Mary four children, Ya'ub, Yusi, Yehuda, and Simeon. And they were called the brothers of the Lord. But actually, they were not the brothers of the Lord. They were the cousins of the Lord. They were the sons of Mary, sister of Saint Mary. If you want to know that, أنا مش هجيبها من هنا. I will not. You take me. You will find it in Saint John Gospel, chapter 19. Saint John Gospel, chapter 19. Keep it. When you go home, you will find what I said now. St. John's Gospel, chapter 19. أيوة. فضلي. سالومي was another cousin. اللي كانوا تحت الصليب. Mary Magdalene, and Mary, sister of the Lord. كده هتخليني أفتح جون. طيب افتحوا لكم. هم دول هم. شوف انا هقول شوفي سان جونز جوسبل chapter 19 when he was speaking about the cross he said Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Okay? These were the three Marys under the cross. Ayo, Suzanne. معلش سوري انا سمعت فضيت فن رسل 70 لا they were 70 apostles well 72 بتوع السباتيكال translation of the bible And the scripture, they were 72. Two of them died in the because they were very. It's another story when Philadelphus, Patlaimos, decided to translate the scriptures from Jewish to Greek. He assembled 72 elders, and because they were very old, two of them died in the way, and the 70 were selected two by two. By this man, few after about 300 years before Christ. Yeah, it's another story, and they translated. One of them was Simeon the Elder, who translated the book of Isaiah, and didn't want to say the virgin begot son. He was hesitated. The angel appeared to him and said, be faithful in your translation and you will live until you see that. And he lived hundreds of years until the Lord came and he saw that himself. The اللي كانوا 72 بعدين مات. ايه ده؟ دي سالومي حاجة تانية. No. There was one of the cousins of Mary, second cousin, not first cousin. في ثلاثة ما أنا هقول بقى مثات كان في ثلاثة. الثلاثة دول كانوا إخوات ومنهم واحدة اتجوزت إليصابات اللي هو جون. أيوة. بنت خالت العذراء، سالون بنت خالتها، بس خالة تالتة. ما هو كانوا عيلة وعيلة القديسين بقى. Any other question? I'm glad that you are, يعني, you are asking, and it means that يعني, you are following me. Glory be to God forever. Amen. Make us worthy to pray to you. Thank free our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil one. Christ Jesus our Lord, thine the kingdom, the power, the glory, now and ever.